As we dive into the remaining lessons of this program, it is also really important that we have a conversation about karma. So in every moment of every day, we are making choices which create our consequences. So we always create our own experience through choice. Now it's very important, and I will harp on about this, that a choice is something we do. Choices happen at the level of action, not thought. And I will keep reminding you of this because it's so important as we keep moving into the remaining lessons of this work. So at the level of thought, we can make a decision. That's not a choice. Truth is, when we make a decision, we can make a new decision 3 minutes later, and the original decision carries no consequences. So we can make up our minds, change our minds 30 seconds later, change them again, change them again, change them again. Our life does not change. Thank goodness, because this is how we can try on choices at the level of decision before actually making them. But when we say we create through choice, we create through our actions. An actual choice is something we do. And once we make a choice, we can't undo it because we're in linear time. Once you've done something, you can't go back in time and not do it, right? We might have to make a second choice to undo the first, but that's still yet another choice. So creation happens through choice, and choice is what we do, not what we think. It's one of the biggest errors that I see in the spiritual development community is this idea that our thoughts create our experience. No, our thoughts create our actions, and our actions are what create our experience. You can think whatever you want. If you worry about something endlessly and never take action on it, you're not going to attract it. Seriously. That's a myth that if you're afraid of something, you're going to attract it into your experience. No, you won't. So let yourself off the hook. We create at the level of choice, and choice means what we do. So we're at all times 100% responsible for creating our circumstances and our own results, because no one can create our experience for us, because nobody can actually do our choices for us. Of course, we can't create anyone else's experience for them, because we can't do anyone else's actions for them either. So karma is the energetic mechanism by which each choice creates a consequence. And the way this works is the energetic quality of a consequence is always the same as the energetic quality of the choice that created it. That is the key to understanding exactly how karma works. We're going to expand on this a little bit. So this is not the same as the concept of making good choices so that good things will happen to us. We all know that bad things happen to good people, right? There's a lot of people who think that they're making the right choice or making good choices and actually attract a lot of unwanted results. It's because they don't understand how karma actually works, and plus they're making choices based on what society tells them is good, which is not, as we've discovered, necessarily what is congruent to our divine self-expression, so it's not necessarily a positive choice for us. Most people thoroughly misunderstand karma because they just don't understand the energetic principles that underlie this mechanism. So throughout the upcoming lessons, you'll learn a lot more about karma, how to uncover negative karmic patterns, and how to shift them into positive karma. Karma itself, I want you to think of it like gravity. It's a neutral mechanism. It works the same way for everyone at all times. Karma is on 24/7. And karma has gotten a bad rap because there's so many misconceptions about karma out there. But karma is not about debt. Karma is not cosmic payback that comes back to punish us. Karma is just choice followed by consequence. And karma is actually the mechanism that turns a choice into a consequence. So everything that shows up is just a consequence of our own choices. And karma is neutral. Karma is not like, I'm watching you, and when you do something bad, I'm going to punish you for it. There's also no karmic debt. Sometimes I've heard people talk about like they have to repay karma, like if they did something bad in a previous lifetime, now something bad's going to be done to them because they have a karmic debt. That is also actually completely inaccurate. And once you understand karma, you realize it is the most useful mechanism that we've got to create our own experience. So karma is the key to manifesting exactly what we want. Positive karma is also highly protective of us, and we'll talk about that. So karma can be positive and affirm our divine self-expression, or it can be negative and affirm separation from our divine self-expression. So there's really two kinds of karma, positive and negative. And it's really when we're in the flow of positive karma, nothing bad ever shows up. It creates so much safety. You're never going to go broke. You're not going to be struck by a devastating illness. Stuff like that just doesn't happen when you're in the flow of positive karma. So karma is really what can protect us in this like beautiful positive bubble where we walk through life totally safe. And the opposite can also be true. I mean, there's people who carry karma victimization. They're constantly being victimized, but that's because they're creating it. And we'll talk so much more about that because you will understand exactly how that works in detail by the end of this program. So it really is entirely up to us whether we create positive or negative karma because it's created through positive and negative choices. Now, whenever we make new choices, we change our karma. And no matter what, in every moment, new choices are always, always available to us. Now, we may not be able to make the choices right in this moment that get us to our ultimate vision for our life in three easy steps, but you know, there's always choices available that get us a step or two closer. And from the new consequence that we create through one new choice, we still have more choices available that get us closer to what we want, and so on. So sometimes people tell me, oh, well, I can't possibly. That's never true. If we have a desire, there is a new choice that we can make right now that will take us one step closer. And from there, we can make a new choice that might not be available from where we are right now. Right? So it's amazing though how people are like, well, I'd have to do this choice over here and I can't make that choice, so I just can't have what I want. It's a total abdication of responsibility. The truth is they're just not willing to baby step their way towards that choice. But wherever we are, there is always something, no matter, even if it's tiny, there's always a new choice that we can make that moves us further towards what we want. Will it get us there right away, overnight? No, of course not. But please uphold that for your clients as well. There's always something that we can do, no matter what kind of a disempowered situation of lack we've created for ourselves. There's always one new choice. Now, that choice might be uncomfortable, it might be inconvenient, but it's still available. We may not be willing to make that choice, and that's okay, but that's also our responsibility. So there's always a way. If we have a desire to create something, then there is always at least one available choice to us right now that we can make that will move us closer towards our desired outcome. Always. Now, most people think they're limited because they're not willing to start where they are. However, if we're willing to change our lives one choice at a time, we are truly limited. And this whole idea of starting where you are is so important. And please help your clients with this as well. We must start where we are. I see so many people who are like, I want to create this big change in the world and I want to do all this stuff and I feel like I can't. Well, the thing is, sometimes making a big shift in the world means we start by getting our first client or helping one person or practicing one skill set, acquiring new knowledge that gives us a skill to, like, sometimes it's like putting up a one-page website. Sometimes it's writing one article, one social media post. And the thing is, there's a lot of little actions that are required, right? And when we think about the little actions, they seem so insignificant, but actually, it's when we take a series of baby steps, we can get where we want to go really, really fast. I mean, when I look back, I'm like, I would have never guessed where I ended up, right? And it's just putting one foot in front of the other, but so many people are here, they have their vision here, and they don't want to be here, so they try to start from there, and they always will fall down. If we argue with reality, we always lose that argument, and we always lose in a way that's really painful and disempowering, because not starting where we are is an act of irresponsibility, and so it disempowers us. It's kind of like when people spend money on their business that they don't actually have, and they do it from a place of hoping and wishing, and it's actually irresponsible, and it ends up coming back to them as a form of disempowerment and lack always. So in the next three lessons, we're going to be diving into negative karmic patterns and what we call blocks and restrictions. We call them blocks and restrictions because these are negative mechanisms that quite literally block or restrict the flow of vital force energy through our divine soul blueprint. And the most important thing about this is we chose them. We chose to engage with all of these mechanisms, and we continue to choose them, or they wouldn't be present in our Akashic record right now. So it's very important for you to understand some of the underlying mechanisms that govern karma. Because a huge part of the work we do is helping our clients step into 100% responsibility for their own experience so that they can change their experience, right? Responsibility is the key to power. You can't have one without the other. They go together. But consciousness is the key to responsibility. So you can't claim responsibility for creating something unless we know how the heck we created it through choice. And that's the thing. So many spiritual seekers are willing to say, okay, I know I created this somehow. But the somehow is the problem. Because they don't know how. If we don't know how we created what we've gotten so far, then we can only claim responsibility in sort of this abstract, theoretical way that doesn't give us any power. Because then we know in an abstract, theoretical way that we should be able to change it, but we still don't know what to do. So what we do when we look at blocks and restrictions and negative karmic patterns, we explain to the client exactly how they created whatever lack, disempowerment, whatever they're being confronted with in life. And out of that consciousness and responsibility comes the power to change it. So what we're really doing here is we're giving the client power over their own experience through consciousness and responsibility, and we let them know exactly how they can change their current circumstances, what choices they can make, what choices are available to them. All right, so that is a huge part of this work, and it's so empowering and liberating for our clients. But it starts with consciousness, which is why we have to do so much research into negative karmic patterns and really understand what karmic patterns are like. So karma works 24/7. It's kind of relentless. I mean, there's no karmic pause button. Sometimes I wish there would be, but no. Every single choice you make generates karma. And since there is no way for us to not make choices, we generate karma every minute of every day. I mean, the one choice we don't have is to not make choices. Even if you're choosing to sit on the couch and binge watch Netflix all day long, that is a choice. There's no way to not choose. Your body is doing something 24/7. Even if you're just sleeping, you're making the choice to sleep. You are. And so we're always these little karma factories 24/7. We really are. However, this is also why we make mostly the same choices over and over. We tend to maintain the same karmic patterns day after day, year after year, and even lifetime after lifetime. If you look at our lives, most of our choices, we kind of keep doing what we've always done. Sometimes we do different versions of what we've always done, but most of our lives, we generally do the same things. And to some degree, we have to. I mean, we have to eat. We have to take care of our bodies. We have to sleep. We have to create income. We have to take care of our children, right? And so some choices are going to be repetitive, and then there's always that wriggle room where we get to make new choices. But for a lot of people, they actually keep doing the same things over and over again, and so they keep creating, predictably, the same results. So in many ways, we're reluctant to make new choices because inherently we understand that this will alter our karma and will attract new consequences, which may be good, but it's also a risk. So most people think karma works along the lines of the golden rule. So if you do something good, then good things will be done unto you. And that is not how it works. It is not. Karma is an energetic mechanism. The energy of a choice is always reflected in the energy of a consequence. So if you make a choice from obligation, you'll create a consequence of more obligation. Make a choice from freedom, you will create a consequence of greater freedom. Make a choice from guilt, you will create a consequence of more guilt. So let's say that a friend asks you to come with her to something, and you want to be a good friend and be nice, but you don't want to. When you say yes and go anyway, even though you don't want to, you're not making a good, nice choice. That's a choice made from obligation. It is, because you don't want to do it, but you feel you should, and should is the operative word for obligation. And that choice is going to create a consequence of obligation. There are people who make so many of their choices because they should or think they have to. It's all obligation all the time. In fact, I think that's most people in the modern world. One obligation, one should or have to after another. And what happens? Our lives are stuffed full. We are time poor. There's always another thing we should do, have to do. I gotta go to work. I gotta clean the house. I gotta buy groceries. And then we collapse on the couch and watch TV for a half hour and then go to bed and then do it all over again. And this is why so many people lead these lives that are stuffed so full of things that they have to do. Their plates are so full, it's all obligation all the time. It's because they keep making those same choices. Now, from a societal standard, they may be making very nice choices that are good, but what they're really doing is piling on one obligation after another. Whereas if you make a choice to set yourself free and say to your friend, you know what, I understand that you'd like me to go, but I really don't want to. That's a choice to liberate yourself from what other people may think. And if your friends love you, they don't want you to be somewhere out of obligation, if they're actual friends, right? And so you set yourself free and you create more freedom. So in this way, karmic patterns are self-perpetuating. Once you make a choice from obligation, you find yourself creating more obligation, which leads to further choices from obligation with more consequences of obligation, and so on and on and on. But it goes in the positive direction too. Once you make a choice from a place of freedom, you create more freedom, which leads to more choices made from freedom and even more freedom, and you just go down this path of liberation. So it's kind of funny because it can work against us and for us. Karma is completely neutral. So karma can be changed instantly, simply by making a new choice. There is no karmic debt that must be paid off before we can change our karma. So if you don't like your consequences, you can start making new choices now and change them, and it can happen quick. Not magically quick, all right? We got to work in the third dimensional reality here, but it is amazing how with new choices, we can change our consequences incredibly quickly. If, for example, we make a choice to say no to an obligation in order to create freedom, we instantly shift our karma towards greater freedom. Now, that doesn't mean we can escape responsibility for the consequences of past poor choices. I mean, if we have to pay alimony, or if we have a lot of debt because we were irresponsible with money that and spent it when we didn't have it, we still have to repay that. But that doesn't mean we can't change our financial situation. We can through new choices. But please understand that changing our karma doesn't mean that we get out of jail free and we just go, "Woo, I don't want to deal with that anymore." Right? That's actually being irresponsible and it'll disempower us. But that doesn't mean that we can't instantly change our actual financial situation. We can. We really can. Just by making more money, it doesn't matter if we still have debt. We could keep paying it off, but that doesn't mean that we can't increase the amount of abundance in our lives. We really can. We don't have to put all of it towards debt all the time straight away. We don't. That would be a have to and an obligation. So just like power and responsibility go hand in hand, irresponsibility always results in disempowerment, all right? So positive karma is what we generate when we make choices that are congruent to our divine self-expression. So a seventh energy center person who chooses more freedom and less obligation will generate positive karma. Now, a third energy center person who chooses greater balance and beauty while eliminating drama will generate positive karma. So it looks different depending on those energy centers. It really does. A third energy center person can actually handle quite a bit of obligation as long as they have peace and balance and harmony. Not so for a seventh energy center person. And for a seventh energy center person, drama is pretty irrelevant. It really is. They can handle quite a lot of it. It doesn't faze them. But it's really toxic to a third energy center person. So what's positive and negative really varies. Positive karma is also self-perpetuating, right? Because our consequences reflect our divine self-expression, which makes it more likely for us to make choices that align further to our divine self-expression and thus create more like consequences and so on and on. And of course, consequences that reflect our divinity will always reflect the abundance of our divine nature, right? So negative karma is generated when we make choices that do not reflect our divine self-expression. Now, unfortunately, there are many, many more negative choices available to us than positive choices. As you've probably come to realize, our divine soul blueprint is highly specific. There's so many choices available to us. And then we're primary and just one energy center. And so that path of alignment to our divine self-expression, the path of positive karma, it's pretty narrow, actually. It can take us wherever we want to go, though. So don't confuse the two. That path may be narrow, but it can go wherever we want it to go. So for example, a second energy center person who decides to write a book is probably generating negative karma. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with writing a book. In fact, that person may be getting business advice saying, oh, you know what you really need as a marketing tool? You got to write a book. You got to be an author because that, you know, elevates your expert status and all of that stuff. But they're a second energy center person. So is writing a book a bad thing in general? Of course not. But for them, it actually generates negative karma. And that's the thing we really have to understand. When I say negative choice is not a bad choice, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. Okay? Because writing, no matter how much they enjoy it, is an intellectual rather than an embodied activity, right? It's very much in our heads. That's not great for a second energy center person. There's no physical experience associated with writing. And what'll happen is even if the book gets written, the book won't create any abundance for them. In fact, their entire income may decrease while they are in the process of writing the book. Now, rationally, we could explain it and say, well, they're just allocating their time differently. But actually, the decline is because they're engaged in a negative choice. And that's always going to generate lack instead of abundance. Negative karma is just not generated when we're making quote-unquote bad choices. It's generated by incongruent choices. And negative karma always creates some sort of lack in our lives. And of course, most people live with low levels of lack. Remember, lack is simply not having the ability to make all the choices you want to make. Now, of course, choices made from blame will always result in more blame and lead to our own disempowerment and victimization because blame abdicates our responsibility and therefore power. It's so important for us to uphold that absolutely every circumstance in our lives is there because we chose it. And when you get through the next few lessons of this program, you'll really understand the why certain situations are in our lives, why we incarnate into certain situations. So you'll find some of the original choices were made in a past life. Here's the thing, our karmic slate is never wiped clean, which is great, because positive karma is highly protective and desirable, but this also explains why we incarnate into our families of origin. The circumstances of our birth are always a perfect match for our karmic state, our karmic patterns when we last transitioned. So let's say you've created tons of negative choices, right? You're in a lot of negative karmic patterns, now you die. Well, it's not like death, like poof, wipes the slate clean and you start over. No, no, no. Karma works 24/7 in linear time and outside of it, all right? It is truly universal law. It works at all dimensional levels, lucky us, right? So then when you come back into your next incarnation, the circumstances of your birth, the family you're birthed into, your parents' financial situation, the state of your parents' relationship to themselves and to each other, your larger family, your geographical location, the time of your birth, the place of your birth. This is why astrology gives us clues, by the way, right? All of that is just going to be a vibrational match for whatever karmic states you were in when you last transitioned. So if you made the choice to abuse yourself in a past life, you're going to incarnate into situations, what, where everybody treats you great with great respect and dignity? No. You're probably going to incarnate into situations of abuse. But that was chosen. So these patterns of choice and consequence are much bigger than our present lifetime, but they explain completely why some of us incarnate into loving families and beautiful households where we're loved and cherished and, you know, treated incredibly well, and some of us incarnate into situations of abuse and poverty. God is not an unfair bully that says, you, situation of abuse, you get a great family. Because how unfair would that be? That's not how the universe works. Everything is in order. And if you look at life, everything is orderly. It's not like, oh, tomorrow the sun might not rise. Mm-mm. There's a cycle. It's all in order. The moon has its cycles. The seasons, it's not like spring is not going to come. It might be a little late. It might be a little cooler than normal, but spring is going to happen. And so is summer. And so is fall. And so is winter. And then spring again. Everything is in order. And it's only us silly human beings that don't seem to recognize that everything is in order. Karma is the essence of divine order. Everything's in order. It's just choice followed by consequence, followed by choice, followed by consequence. So we do choose everything. And while that may sound harsh, I promise it's a liberation. When we know that we created circumstances that, you know, can seem unfair. If we look just at this one perspective, this one lifetime, and we had a family where there was abuse, emotional, physical, sexual, whatever, right? It may seem very unfair that we got that family. Why did we get that family? But if we understand that it was our own choices, and then we understand what they were, because that's what we can do with this work, right? We can explain it to our clients. We understand exactly how we created the circumstances of our birth. And then we can also see whether we've shifted out of those patterns or whether we're still in them, because quite frankly, some people never break out. They just go from an abusive set of parents to attracting one abusive relationship after another to abusive bosses to, I mean, it's like they think the whole world is out to abuse them because they never shifted out of those patterns of victimization that created that circumstance to begin with. They just continue it. But now we can help our clients see the why of it. And it'll make sense. And it gives the client the power to change their experience. So please understand, when I say it from the perspective of, well, we choose situations of abuse, that sounds really cold. But I promise, and as someone who grew up in a pretty abusive situation, I did, I found the perspective empowering and incredibly liberating because it makes sense. There's a purpose to it. Life is not unfair. It really isn't. And then we have the power to change everything. So it can be difficult to accept responsibility at first for all circumstances. And yet, responsibility is the key to the power to change any circumstance. So that's why we uncover and thoroughly explain negative karmic patterns to our clients so that they become conscious. They can claim both the responsibility and the power to change these patterns. So it may be a little daunting to look at all these negative choices and then the thought of like telling the client, it's like, oh my God, here's how you're engaged in all these negative karmic patterns that you yourself created. It's not like we're saying, you know what, it's your fault. That's not the point. It's about becoming conscious of our creatorship. Oh, this is how I created this lack and disempowerment and all the crap that I've created in my life. This is how I did it. Now I know. And now I know how to create something new. Because the thing is, if our clients had figured that out by themselves, they'd be doing it and they wouldn't come to us for a session. So there's a reason we need to look at these negative karmic patterns closely. I understand that it's not always comfortable. Do it anyway. Do it anyway because it is the key to really being able to transform our lives. And by the way, looking at these patterns for clients over and over again, it really helps us understand more and more how karma works. And what that creates in our own lives is that we stop making negative choices, quite frankly, because we're so on top of it. We know exactly what we are creating as we're choosing it. And our lives become quite predictable, actually. We don't have to be afraid of anything bad happening anymore because we know how to stay in the flow of positive karma. And that is possibly the biggest gift we get as practitioners. We get to understand how this process of creating life through choice and consequences works, and we can do nothing but generate positive karma. And so life is going to be pretty great for us from that understanding and consciousness.